brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to yet another outstanding, amazing, incredible sud segment.
I think that was one adjective too many.
I think that was like four.
You left out tremendous.
Tremendous. Thank you.
Stupendous.
Thank you, Reverend Mark.
Monumentous.
Hi. Hi.
Hey there.
You ready to drink, belch, and repeat?
Ready to...
Sure. In a Belgian-y kind of way. Yeah.
With three. Oh, don't give it away.
No, I'm not giving anything away.
So, I am your hostess, good old gal Juliana. With me today at the table is the OG crew. No sound effects?
It's like a creaking, you know, board of some kind.
I don't know, like something really. Okay.
You got crickets.
There you go. That is the bright sound effect for us. That is correct.
So, with me today at the table is good old boy Dave, Mr. Sound Effect.
I'm the dude.
Sound effect.
That's what you call me, you know? His dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Just not duty.
Wow. Doo-doo.
One white Russian, table six. Yes, correct. Yeah.
Right.
It's because the rug ties the room together. That's the reason why it works for you, Dave.
There you go.
That's it. Reverend Mark.
It's so good to be here.
So good to be anywhere.
Sounds like he was straining.
I know.
Oh, it's good to be here and now.
Here and now. And El Jefe.
So... The thing is that since Canadians have been, you know, unlawfully protesting the fact that I continue to do this show, I like the fact that we're on
banned once again.
A large number of Canadian radio stations now. So I like that. It's like the ultimate
sarcastic humor.
Yeah, right. Correct.
It's in your face, Canada. You take what we give you.
Please get a national sport that you're good at.
Really?
Dressing in denim. I mean,
I didn't say those people in Chicago should get a real sport. I said the people in Canada should.
People in Chicago should get a real life.
They invented the real sport.
Well,
yeah, and then everybody else got better at it. Called Murica.
Murica. Right.
I beg to differ.
Really?
I beg to differ.
Yeah, how many years has the Stanley Cup been won by the Canadian NHL teams? Like three.
No, more than three.
What sport was that again? Was it curling?
Yeah, there we go. That's what I'm talking about.
Pairs, figure skating.
Okay, you're both banned. You're all banned.
Like milking cows or, you know.
Let me go get you my hockey stick, okay?
Okay.
Let me just get the hockey stick. Okay. Reeling it back in.
Yeah.
So we do different kinds of suds segments and brewery takeovers.
Mostly poor.
And style shows and blind tastings and price point shows and questionable decision shows and things like that.
That's for sure.
Aren't they all questionable decisions?
Well, with who I work with, yeah.
It's a part of our creative process. That sounds kind of questionable.
Yeah.
Let's
let Dave pick a show. That Dave's a real
dork.
Wait, I'm Dave. Never mind. I'm great.
But sometimes when we're out beer shopping, we just find a really cool, like, mixed six-pack or multi-pack, and we have to get the good old boys over here to talk about it. So the good old boys are here.
We got the oldest of the good old boys.
Yeah. So recently, good old boy Dave and I picked up a set of Belgian specialty ales from Petrus, one of the brands brewed by Brabandier Brewery in Babico, Belgium.
Baba Ganoush.
Please forgive me. We'll find out more about them in just a minute. But first, the Suds segment is brought to you by...
Are you lonely? Have you tried meeting people who interest you, but you just can't find any? Have all the dating apps let you down? Maybe you need Imaginary Friend. It's the new social app that lets you avoid real relationships. No chance of being disappointed because it's all in your head. That's Imaginary Friend. Available for download absolutely nowhere.
A few years ago, at the Beer Now conference, good old boy Dave, good old boy Kendall, and I took a part in a blending demonstration with one of the master brewers, Benoit. They actually made a sour power pack that contains bottles of their aged pale, aged red, and oud brune that you can blend yourself.
Well, they also call it the rude brune now.
Oh, really?
They do. Okay. It's on their website.
Okay.
I will look it up right here in front of you.
And it was a lot of fun, and the beers were delicious, and you were able to just, you know, experiment. It was like being a master blender.
Except we weren't very good at it.
But Petrus makes a lot of beers.
But Petrus makes a lot of beers, and we've got six that we are really excited about.
As soon as Dave finds this,
that's right. Yeah, as soon as we focus.
Yeah, I agree. Who wrote this?
I was so enraptured by what you were saying.
The timing is just so stellar.
Impeccable.
Way it's to go. Impeccable. Get ready to number right. one again, Dave.
Hey, little boy Dave, you want to talk about today's flight?
Not really, because you guys are jerks.
Yep. I got 1750 is going to screw up one of these.
The Petrus Belgian specialty ales we'll be tasting and discussing today are the Oud Brune, also known as the Rude Brune. The Golden Triple, the Double Brune, the Special, the Blonde, and the Aged Red.
Is that Modelo?
Yep. So we are laughing because Dave had so many typos in that list. First off, he typed golden, G-O-U-D-E-N.
Okay, look at the bottle. Look at the bottle, Jack Wagon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at it.
Guten.
It's like Guten Dank.
Which is Dutch for golden. So bite me.
All right.
What's the next one?
Special.
Yeah? What's it said on the bottle? What's it on the bottle?
Let's see here. Let's see around here.
I-A-L-E.
Yep. So, yeah, okay. That one was not even close. So, yeah.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah.
Save yourself.
Spikel is how he spelled it.
All yeah.
Right. It's C before E.
Right.
Except after D.
Or if you're in Canada and then you just say, screw it.
You know what? You're all number one.
That's what
we're why is everybody picking on me?
All right. Well, thank you.
A terrible co-host.
Thank really? You. You're tremendous. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, that's what.
Yeah. Reverend Mark, would you mind giving us the ratings for this Suds episode?
And read them like a disgruntled Belgian.
Can we really score them this low? Is there a minus zero category here? Just kidding. Okay. These Suds ratings are as follows. We will be discussing and fussing about these ratings.
And the beers that go with the ratings.
And along with the ratings go our signature belching and other artificial sounds. Here they are. Number one. Man, that sucks. Give me anything but a bud.
Or a mic.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay, number two. Was that a belch?
Or a mic.
Number three. Ah, what a relief.
It's not mic.
Number four. You know, a body really shouldn't make that kind of sound.
Except Mike.
And number five. Hey, man, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
Thing that's not Mike.
Thank you, Reverend Mark.
You were
And
great.
For those just tuning in, yes. This is Mean Boys, take one.
Dave versus Mike, episode 3000.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's get to the beers.
I have a weapon, though, see. So he gave me the screwdriver earlier. So, yes. You know, I can't stab him with a blade.
Considering this beer flight, I wish I had a screwdriver right now.
I'm feeling screwed.
Okay. Come on, ladies. Okay. So we have got six beers here.
Is that true?
Yep. That is true.
Is that using Canadian math?
Belgian math.
Okay,
right. Belgian beers, Belgian math.
How many
frites
would we have if we?
I think with today's flight, there would be many frites.
Mm.
Many frites.
And some mussels.
Sure. What else would go with these beers today?
Yeah, I'll order another beer. I think that's probably what would go with this flight.
Yeah, a different
best.
Beer. Yeah.
I think a little Gorgonzola would go with some of this.
Ooh.
So we wouldn't.
Because Mike's jokes are so cheesy.
And I know that Dave would misspell Gorgonzola.
Wow. Whoa. We're going to be back with the beer in just a minute.
Mike gave himself a standing ovation.
I'm Annie from Boston, Massachusetts.
And I'm Johanna from Vienna, Austria. We are the hosts of Fresh Hell, your international podcast that covers murder, mystery, and the macabre throughout history. Are you interested in the 3,569 ways your household could have killed you in the Victorian era?
Do you know how malaria and syphilis played a role in the John List family murders?
And have you ever wondered what Prince Albert's sex chair had to do with the murder of Stanford White? Okay, nothing. It had nothing to do with it. We're still telling you about it, though.
It's a pretty great sex chair. If you're looking for another show that talks about Ted Bundy, this is probably not the podcast for you. But if you're looking for two women that cover lesser-known cases from all over the world with a lot of background information.
So much background information that you will rock your local pub quiz from now on.
Then find Fresh Hell Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
We also have German cannibals.
See you soon.
Tschüss.
Welcome back, everyone. So, for those of you just tuning in, hi, welcome. What took you so long?
I like the people that come back of their own free will, you know? All 8.5 of those people said, sure,
8.5?
I'll listen to the rest, yeah.
Okay, well, I promise it's going to get better, because now we're going to get into the beer.
Those are the same people that cut their own arms, like...
So we are doing a mixed pack takeover from Petrus.
Which I think we should talk really quick about mixed packs. They can be a great thing. Like if you want to get to know a brewery, you want to understand like some of their beers without buying, you know, a bunch of six packs of different beers, buy a mixed pack. That way you get to taste it.
Yeah.
But with like anything else, you might run into something that has sat in a store for many, many years or months or not been stored appropriately or different things.
Yes, yeah. A mixed pack runs that risk because not everybody wants to buy six different beers in one package. So, yeah, it sits around a lot longer,
which is weird to me because like I'm more about trying a lot of different beers, but some people, they know like I like this one beer from a brewery, so I'm gonna just keep buying it over and over and over, whereas like I would probably want to try several different ones.
So part of what I like about this discussion we're having today is talking a little bit about, you know, the beer distribution process that, you know, a lot of people may not be aware of, and how this has some direct correlation, you know, in the quality, you know, of the beers that you have as well. So you may not know that, you know, these beers actually moved from Belgium to the U.S. through an importer, and then that gets handoff to usually a regional distribution point, and then that moves down into the state retail, or the local, you know, retailers, you know, from that point. So about four or five handoffs, not unusual. And one of the things that's very true with most beers is they move around at ambient temperature. They're not in a temperature-controlled environment. That does happen, and there are some beers where, you know, things are stored and made and transported around, you know, at temperature. But the vast majority of the beer moves around even at, you know, just ambient temperature for whatever distribution point that it's moving around. The other thing that we were talking about is just the labeling itself, you know, and one of the conversations that we'll talk about today is how long was that sitting on the shelf?
Mm-hmm.
And the difference, at least in the U.S. market, is that beers are not, don't have an expiration date on them. Now, a lot of them don't even have a born-on date on them. The regulating authority for doing that is actually the TTB, which is about collecting tax from alcohol and not necessarily overseeing the quality matching up with the beer. So,
which is crazy. That is not the FDA or, you know,
so
whatever.
So literally in the U.S., you could have, you know, a beer that's labeled as a red ale and drop a blonde in it, a blonde ale, and as long as it was at the same ABV, so if you got the label approved and it was 8% ABV, and you said, you know, that was it. If it says blonde and you dropped a red ale in there and it was still at 8%, boom, you're good to go.
Yeah, and it's crazy, man, because, I mean, beer is not like other alcohol, right? It's way more perishable than
a lot of things that get a, you know, expiration date. Yeah, that's actually managed by the FDA in the U.S. market. So that's part of what you're going to hear come into our conversation is some net effect that all of this distribution and regulation, and then you as a beer consumer specifically, you know, how it's kind of impacting your experience. So let's rip in to talk about the Oud Brune.
Let's do it.
Okay, so the first beer up for bids is the Petrus Oud Brune.
Up for bid. I bid minus five.
It's a blend of 33% Petrus aged pale, pure barrel aged beer that has been aged for 2 years in oak, and then 67% of a young brown beer. In this blend, the young dark contributes the reddish brown color, and the aged pale contributes the slightly sour flavor. Petrus Oud Brune is a typical Flemish red ale, as tradition dictates.
A lot of Oud Brunes I've had are like jaw clenchers, right?
Yes.
Like they're very acidic, and as they get older, they can kind of become more
figgy and raisin.
Yeah, you know, this one's really kind of just kind of a watery.
Yep.
Little weird version of it.
But I would say also that Oud Brunes are a little less sour and puckering than like an Eastland, you know, like a Flanders, like an East Flanders.
Sure.
That is, there is a little bit more malt there too, and which is implied by the brown that it's blended with supposedly. But I go, you know, with Dave and Mike both, is that I think it's just thin. It's just, this particular one is way, way too, the brown ale part of it is just not there.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is really falling off the cliff. And the only thing that's left is kind of this citrus sour, you know, kind of overtone, you know, to this. And we've tasted this beer, you know, in a lot of other instances. And this beer is maybe a third of what, you know, I would even describe it as. And, you know, part of what you'll hear us speculate is how long did that mix pack, you know, sit on the shelf? You know, I'm going to lead in and say it probably sat there a good 10 years, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to even say.
I have no idea. I mean, to us, it's only been a few months old, but in the grand scheme of things, sure. It could have been for a while.
And a lot of that comes down to individual retailers and their distributors on, do they care about, because, you know, like once something's been ordered and
paid for,
shipped and everything, and invoiced. Like, I'm going to sell this damn thing.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
And if some dude from Nashville is dumb enough to come in here and buy this thing and, you know, check it out, knowing that Petrus is a great brand, you know, I think that's the thing too, is like, we all know that Petrus makes phenomenal beers, but when they're mistreated or something, maybe they can't hold up.
Or what can you expect of a beer to hold up over
however many years? Or
and just the logistics that's implied by bringing products all the way over from Belgium and not moving them quickly.
Because that's a lot of miles and a lot of movement.
Yeah, I would go to so far to say this mix six pack was a failure in merchandising. So
yeah,
this is just, you know, as Dave was kind of moving down through that point of thought process and discussion, is the distributor sold it, you know, the retailer bought it, they stuck it on a shelf. As far as they're concerned, their job was done.
Yeah.
And at least in this particular market where this was purchased, you know, beer and liquor and is sold, you know, in the same, you know, side by side. And then that changes in different markets, you know, and some beers like this are sold in a grocery store setting where, you know, that aspect of merchandising is actually a responsibility of the distributor, you know, and they want to look at, you know, having, you know, fresh or, you know, products that will actually move and sell, that moves back on the responsibility of the distributor, not of the retailer. So
sure.
I really think this is I think as you hear us walk through this discussion of this mixed six pack, I think this is a flat out failure of effective merchandising. They just simply didn't recognize they had a spent product on the shelf.
And then I got a weird question for you. So back in the day when Petrus started distributing here to the United States, there weren't as many breweries here in the United States as there are now.
That's true, yeah.
So when they were sitting on the shelf, they were probably moving a lot faster because when I, many thousands of years ago, started drinking beer, I remember being really jazzed about this because, hey, it was fancy because it was coming from overseas and it wasn't Rolling Rock. And I had a fair share of this just based on, hey, I'm doing something that's culturally great for me and my belly. But there weren't any other options. Now there are a lot of local options that are very similar that want to take this approach. And then also now in this current environment that we're in, where distribution is being lax because it's sitting at the docks longer, because it's waiting for certain regulations, which, I mean, are all changing. I'm just wondering if six packs are even going to go away, you know, in favor of like singles, because the singles will move faster than, you know, six packs.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
We've seen that too, even with like bombers going away. You know, like the bigger,
very true.
The bigger size containers are being replaced by, you know, like 500 mils or 375s. Partly because the breweries, you know, can package them a little better, but also a lot of beers, people aren't buying the bigger formats just because they want to drink a beer now. They just want to drink it and be done with it. It's not necessarily, I'm going to take it to a party and share it with five or six people. I'm just going to drink this thing.
And I'd say it also represents, you know, not just the coming of age, they've come of age, but they're maturing and liking really good beer is the millennials. And that there's just a desire environmentally for smaller packaging.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and not investing in a big bomber. And so that's,
well, I think cans too.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. I think more and more things are going to be in cans because you don't have the things getting light struck. You know, there's a little less oxidation going on. So you can, and it's a little more compact, and you can take it places that you can't take glass.
That's a good move to our next beer. Yeah. When you talk about light blighted.
Well, so the Oud Bruin from Petrus re-rated a 3.
So even as damaged as it was, we still recognize that it was a pretty good beer.
Sure. Although a very fresh version of this would be outstanding.
A lot better.
Outstanding. Yeah.
Freaking phenomenal.
Moving on, let's talk about the Gooden Triple. Top fermented blonde beer, re-fermented in the bottle, brewed with pure spring water and carefully selected hops and malts, the ultimate proof of the master brewer's craftsmanship. 7.5% ABV.
It's malty.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I thought part of it was I wrote down clean, good, not great. It's just oxidized. It's just horrible. You can tell, you know, that this beer is long gone.
Yeah, I picked that up too.
Expired and gone to see its maker.
That's a very good way of putting it. Yes.
I'd also say that, you know, it hit all the right notes if you like a particular kind of triple. But for me, what distinguishes a triple from like a strong golden is that it's less sweet. And so this one is leaning more toward
sweet.
Yeah. More toward
super sweet.
Yeah. Golden.
Yeah.
And a golden that's been slightly oxidized. So it's not my kind of triple. It still, I think, obviously qualifies. And it's not bad, but it's just to me not great.
And it's in an amber glass bottle. So if it's oxidized, that means it's been sitting there for a while.
Do you think that if they used the English rendition of describing golden instead of Dutch, that it would have made a difference? Well, if you didn't catch that earlier, the Dutch version is G-O-U-D-E-N instead of G-O-L-D-E-N.
The Dutch.
So yes. would it have made a big difference?
Maybe, you know. That put the L instead of the U.
Yeah,
you
know, I think it made a big difference.
I think so.
Kind of like can art.
And also, Reverend Mark, isn't it true you're in a traditional triple, you should be getting a lot more aromatics too?
I think so. I mean, totally. I like slightly dry and spicy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with some air, and you use aromatic malt in a triple, whereas you wouldn't so much in a golden. So I'm not getting aromatics there either.
Yeah, it's like everything has fallen off. Yeah.
Fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberries.
You said aromatics, so that made me think of that. Yes.
Well, one of the things I think it's interesting, I remember, you know, buying actually the Petrus, you know, triple alongside Carmelie at the same time. And, you know, those are just a lot of reference standard, you know, triple ales, that and Reverend Marks. Mm. and, you know, so I really know what this can be and what it tasted like. And probably if I went back through our back catalog, we probably had this and, you know, we've rated it on the show previously. And it, again, this is just one of these things. It's like, wow, this sat, you know, in a warehouse, you know, for 8 months and, you know, it got cooked at 120 degrees and then it moved to being set, you know, and this cannot be light blighted because actually, this mixed six-pack was actually in a cardboard.
Sealed in a cardboard. You
know, on top of that.
And here's the thing, too, Mike, is like it reminds me like when we did the St. Bernardus
episode. There you go.
And some of that beer had sat in a store for months or years beyond when it should have, and they just let it sit. And like an unsuspecting numbskull like me comes by and buys it just looking at the brand and not thinking about checking for dates, which you don't always see.
And there was no date on this pack.
Right. Know? So there's no way to know. But at the same, you know, but I think that's what's happening with Belgian beers in general is because people aren't buying them as much, you know, kind of to Juliana's earlier point. There weren't as many breweries before, but now there's a lot of American breweries that are brewing pretty good Belgian style beers. Right. And people don't care as much about, I want to buy an authentic Chimay or a St. Bernardus or whatever. I just want to buy this triple or, you know, whatever. And you know, whatever I know is fresh.
Right. Yeah. And you think about it. I mean, aside from the ingredients themselves, which you can all source now locally from Belgium and wherever else.
Yeah.
Is, you know, the water, you know, and that is, where's the water sourced? Pierre Celis many years ago, you know, came from Belgium, established Celis Brewery in Austin, Texas. And he said it was because the water was just like Brussels. And he said, so why not do it in Austin and distribute it close by than to
where
bring it in?
Where the biggest market
sure.
is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think it's because, you know, there is more really, really good, authentically made Belgian beer just locally. Domestically.
Yeah.
You don't need to
Which
buy.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, that's
yeah.
crazy to say, but it really is true.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
And so it's nothing against Petrus as much as it just has to spend a lot of time getting to us, and it's not worth it when it gets here, where it would have been worth it had we been there.
Or I think that if they at least...
where it came from.
Yes.
You know, or the point is that if you took the same measure and care, you know, with this perishable product...
Right, right.
To move it from point A to point B, even if you weren't moving it at temperature, even if you moved it quickly...
Yeah.
You know, I think that you would still be able to have shelf life that I think honored the quality of the beer as it left, you know, the brewery.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sure. Because I think, I mean, as a home brewer, I want to have reference standards. And Petrus, you know, is a reference standard in terms mm-hmm. of like a traditional Belgian beer. I guess if there was a way where we didn't have so many that were on the shelves and that we knew that the turnover rate was, you know, better on it. As a home brewer, I would like to have this reference standard. So when I can compare it, you know, in terms of style guidelines, then I have this to base, you know, what I'm going to do with my recipe.
Yeah, yeah, it is a bench. It is a benchmark.
You know, there's a fine line there.
Or Mike's just going to have to take us all to Belgium.
Well, I'm all right with that. Yeah. I mean,
that's just... You know what? I think that'll just fit.
After we've insulted their beer on this episode, yeah. I'm sure they've just rolled out the red carpet.
And once again.
So. They'll be waiting for us. Well, we will continue in just a brief minute. The destination.
Do you love plants? Don't be silly. Of course you do. You might just not know it yet. I'm Vikram Baliga, the host of the Plantthropology Podcast, the show where we dive into the lives and careers of some really cool plant people. Join me each episode as I chat with students, scientists, and professionals in the natural sciences and figure out what keeps them coming back for more. We'll explore their work, the ways they got into their fields, why they love plants and nature so much, and why you should love those things too. Plantthropology is laid back and conversational and will keep you laughing and engaged whether you're a scientist or not. Follow along for this adventure into the sciences and keep being really cool plant people.
My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. So today's episode is really interesting. It's talking about Petrus beer from Belgium, and we grabbed a six pack, and we're now discussing those beers. So it's kind of a brewery takeover, kind of.
It's a mixed six takeover.
Mixed six takeover. So the last beer that we have been talking about is the Guten Triple. Triple. And we rated that one a 3, just to make sure that we're catching up on that. And now we're going to move to the Dubbel.
The Dubbel.
Yes. Double brown ale. Top fermented dark beer brewed with pure spring water and carefully selected hops and malts. The dark beer, with its subtle and slightly caramelized flavor, is preferably served cold.
Mm-hmm.
It is dark. It is dark.
This one is okay to me. It's definitely, I definitely get caramel.
Yeah.
Kind of a cola flavor.
That's what I dinged it on. I mean, for me, I don't like a caramelly aspect to a double. I know, like, you have Caramunic in there maybe a little bit.
You want the spicier parts there.
Yeah, it's just kind of.
It fell off.
There was a little bit it's kind of on left. The, you know, kind of, it made it just, the sweetness made it just a little like a Pepsi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say this is practically just sugar water, you know, at this point. And, you know, it's basically a Tootsie Roll flavored sugar water.
Yeah. It takes all the things that make a great double or double or whatever and kind of pushes us to the side and just leaves you with the base.
Yeah. And this is one of the, actually all these, you know, so far the beers, they have really fallen off. As they have sat here in the glass for, you know, probably 30 minutes. So I'm really finding us being rather generous.
So are we telling
with our
people
ratings.
To just not buy imported beer?
No, I don't think that's the storyline, you know, here. That thing is that I think you have to challenge and look at the retailer and the packaging to be able to give you an informed decision specifically about, you know, what you're doing. Are there beers that are imported that do have born-on dates? Yes, there are. Are there beers that have vintage declarations when you purchase them? Yes, there are. But when you're running into a product that you're not really quite sure, ask the retailer, you know?
Well, and if you buy something and it sucks, call them out on
right.
it, too.
So that was kind of my question, Dave. You know, I mean, would you have taken this back if we weren't talking about it on the show? The retailer.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, when we did the St. Bernardus thing, I posted an Instagram and called the retailer out on a really old four-pack or whatever it was of one of their beers, and they pulled all the rest of it off the shelf.
You know?
So they do listen. They do watch, you know. They're gonna do what they're gonna do until somebody
says, "Hey,
yeah, hey, man."
Yeah, and whose responsibility is that? I mean, would distributors, they stock the stores, would they want to rotate stock?
No, they don't stock. Well, so in this particular case, it's a package store, so they do not merchandise usually in package stores.
They just drop it and go.
They walk in with a hand truck and they drop it off, and the retailer is the one that, you know, basically merchandises, you know, from that point.
But the retailer needs to be the ones who either do what they have to do to get it off the shelf in a timely fashion, or go back to their distributor and say, no, you need to come get this, or we got to figure something out.
Yeah, so I think part of it comes down to an experiential, you know, element of, you know, with that retailer. Are they used to managing and merchandising products that are perishable? And with, you know, other products like spirits and whiskeys and vodka and gin, you know, right alongside this, the stuff sit on the shelf for, you know, 1,000 years and it's going to be the same, you know. This, you know, beer has definitely
a
life,
different.
You know.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
So
sure.
To treat every bottle the same in your store is, you know, just a revenue stream and say, I don't have any merchandising, you know, approach, you know, to some of those things any different.
Well, I think with a lot of beer too, especially like macro beers, when they drop it off in the retailer, they stick it back in the cooler and everything stays cold for a long, long time.
So they feel like that's going to be better.
But when you have like craft beer stores and stuff, a lot of things are out where it's at room temperature and it's sitting under the lights. Like I've gone into beer stores and you see like things in green bottles, which if you don't know, green bottles...
skunk beer.
Skunk.
Yeah, it doesn't,
really
doesn't filter out the,
it's basically
the UV.
It's basically the same as clear bottles. But they'll be sitting out on shelves, like right by the window.
Yep.
And stuff. And it's like, dude, you're killing this beer.
And one more quick thing to note is if you're going to a package store and you see that they have like a sale section, I'm going to take more credence in a package store that does that because they realize that there are expiration dates on beers.
Let's get this out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'd say also just think about yourself in relation to your favorite package store or stores after the holidays, let's say 2 and 3 and 4 months after the holidays. And there's still certain kinds of seasonal beer that's left.
Yeah.
You don't buy it typically.
No,
why?
You
because
don't.
It's April.
If you see an Oktoberfest beer on the shelf in March, you know,
just pass
let's,
it
let's
on.
Think about
yeah,
that.
Just
but you can't know that about these products as right. easily.
This
that,
is
that's
a little
the point.
Tougher. Yeah, this is a little tougher. Well, the Duble, we rated a 3.
So imagine how good these beers would be if they were
I know,
fresh.
If they were. Okay, so let's move on to the Petrus Special. It's an
Special.
Amber. It's a, don't go Mexican on me there. It's an amber-colored top fermented beer.
That was rude.
Brewed according to an old traditional recipe. It's tasty. It's mellow. And it can, that you can carry on drinking. That's good vernacular there.
Well, when you drink, you start to carry on.
Oh,
right.
Burnt caramel. You know, that's all I got really out of this.
This is one of the ones where I really noticed the poo.
Ooh, poo. So you gave me a clean one, yeah. So I didn't.
So we haven't talked about all the floaties that's in this as well.
I made
it
an effort to
chunky.
Give, I made an effort to give Mike and Mark the least poo.
So if you don't know, as beer is bottle conditioned, yeast can clump together and basically settle, you know, in the bottom, same way that happens in a fermentation tank.
Yep.
And you're pulling that off usually, or filtering it out is more the case usually as it's being bottled. But, you know, something sits there for long enough, it's going to clump up and settle once again. So,
well, yeah. And even when beer is bottle conditioned, it doesn't always leave a 1-inch layer of poop in the bottom of the bottle.
That's true. And I think it has to do with how much secondary fermentation went on.
Yeah.
It also is like beers are not always very well. I mean, they're not filtered. And so there could be trub in there too, you know, proteins. Yeah. So it's a number of things. And that's the risk you take with bottle conditioned beers.
And
which usually is not it's a good thing, but
you decant off, you know, like 80% of the bottle and it's pretty clear. You leave that last little bit. And potentially if you're a home brewer or something, you take what's in the bottom, you propagate it up and you brew a clone.
I don't think there'd be any.
No, there's no, there's nothing.
Yeah.
No,
there's no live yeast.
These are all dead.
This is just duty.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything viable in here. So the Petrus Special, we rated a 3, though mine was like 4 fingers full of poo.
you won the prize.
See, mine was really clean. I think I might have gotten the first pour. So
it's very sweet. It's a very sweet beer.
Hmm.
Yeah.
The Blonde.
Okay, let's go to the Blonde.
This is the darkest blonde beer I've ever seen in my life.
It's a refreshing blonde beer that leaves your taste buds craving for more.
Ned.
It is brewed from the finest aromatic hops, which gives it a refreshing and enjoyable taste.
I've got like half of those hops in my glass.
I can smell something, but you don't want to know what it is. So,
yeah, this one has a decent amount of poo in it as well.
I'm chewing it.
This was just horrible.
Yeah.
You know, if there is such a thing as an aged blonde, then this was coming close to it.
The one redeeming quality of clear bottles is like if this bottle was clear, we would have been able to see like a good solid, probably 2 inches of doo-doo in the bottom of it.
It was just not even remotely close to, you know, being, it was just sweet on the nose with a sweet finish and just another rendition of, this is a half step above, you know, like cola water.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
And this was high on the oxidation scale for me too.
I didn't even get that far.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I mean, honestly, between the chewiness and, you know, sucking the crap out between my teeth that came from the bottom of the glass, I don't know.
So, it's safe to say that this one wasn't perfect, but in a perfect world, a Belgian blonde is a really good beer.
It is.
Oh, yeah. This is, we've had the Petrus Blonde several times over. This This is a great beer.
So when I sip
just
this,
not just in this six pack,
just barely tip the glass and just get liquid in, it's still pretty tasty. Yeah. It's like sweet cereal malt. It's got a nice body to it. There's a little bit of sugary sweetness to it, of course. It's definitely got some good characteristics.
Well, and I took my notes when it was first cracked and it was still cool,
yeah,
fairly cold. And I thought, kind of almost a quaffing beer, but I wouldn't quaff this stuff as it has aged or yeah, as it has warmed up.
Yeah.
It's way too sweet, and it's not just the malt.
All right, I'm going to do it.
Whoa. Okay, that was gross.
Oh, I drank it with all the poo.
You're
going to
feel that later.
Yeah.
Girl, okay. Just glad this is not a video show. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
You can go throw up on your garden and be good fertilizer.
Okay.
Thank you.
That was Reverend a questionable
Mark. That
decision.
Was awesome. Okay. That was a questionable decision. So the Petrus Blonde, we rated a 2.
Yeah, that's still being okay. Very
a
generous.
Number 2.
Yeah. All right, so I have a question to throw out to you guys. Have you ever sent a beer back, either at a restaurant or a bar setting, or have you ever taken one back to a retailer? And
yes.
What was the? Do you remember what was wrong with it and why?
I've had a few, like in, well, not a few, but I've actually gotten the wrong beer.
Well, that happens a lot. Yeah.
You know, like you tell the server, hey, I want
this hazy IPA, and they bring you this super clear thing, and it tastes just like Bud Light.
Yeah.
You go, yeah, no.
This looks like a stout. I'm pretty sure it's not a hazy IPA. Yeah. Or you can tell the beer lines were dirty. You know,
that's probably the one thing I've done quite a bit is I can tell that they haven't cleaned the beer lines out in forever, and they've run stouts and sour beers and, you know, all kinds of IPA through there, and it tastes like a muddled mess. And yeah,
I've even had where, you know, you can tell the end of the keg blew and there's stuff in there.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, did you not see this on the way? You know,
pouring it, yeah.
Right, or whoever was pouring it, and then you brought it out here, and you think I'm not going to call you on the half inch of stuff floating around here.
So you're saying it's okay to send something back if something is wrong?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
And it should be.
And right? You should be able to take it back to the beer store.
I mean, there are a lot of people that I eat with, and they're like, oh, you only do that if it's wine and if it's spent. And I go, well, no.
No.
Well, I've had two instances. One where a bottle was brought to me, right? And they cracked it open and there was no effervescence. I'm like, no, back.
This beer's not supposed to be still.
And right, exactly. I mean,
no CO2, I'm done.
No, and it turns out that it was skunked because the person said to me, well, do you sure you want to, you know, I'm sure it's great. I'm like, no, let me smell it. And it smelled like skunk. I'm like, no, thank you. Then I had another where the bottle was brought to me and it had dust on it.
Yeah.
They didn't even wipe off the dust.
And it wasn't a cellar beer.
No, it wasn't a cellar beer.
And not good.
No, as a matter of fact, it was a stout, but it was supposed to be like a nitrous stout.
Yeah.
I said no. And, you know, they looked at me like I had three heads, but I'm like, no. Well,
and a lot of people are, you know, people don't want to be confrontational, you know. But the thing is, if you're going to be paying for something, and usually paying quite a bit, it better be what you expect it to be.
Yeah, and it's not unusual in these days to ask for sample pours if it's in a tap situation.
Yeah,
for that reason.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the last one here, which is the aged red. So it's a perfect balance between sweet and sour. It is a 15% aged pale with an 85% Dubbel infused with natural cherries.
I love this beer.
As opposed to unnatural cherries.
He liked it because it had cherries in it. That's why I
like
it.
I like cherries, baby.
Other than that, it was a crappy beer.
Cough syrup? Yeah. Anyone?
Robitussin. No.
Well, what did we rate this beer that I love so much?
We rated this a 3, though in a perfect universe, this beer, I mean,
oh, it could have
is
been
a
five.
Really good beer. Yeah, oh, yeah, it can be a five.
Yeah.
So the moral of the story for today is...
Check your dates.
Check your dates. Check for dust.
Don't be afraid to take it back.
And don't be afraid to take it back.
Kick somebody right in the...
Exactly. Keister. You know, if you're going to a place that is a reputable beer package store or beer-based restaurant, they should know better.
There you go.
That's the moral of the story. Well, that's going to end it for today. Thank you so much for joining us and hanging out with us. You can always find us where you found this episode, as well as radio, satellite, online at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, BeanPod.
Podbean.
Podbean.
Bean.
And nearly any place you listen to a podcast. The easiest way to find this show on your phone is to ask Alexa, Siri, or Google, either in female or male versus play podcast, Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
We love your feedback, and you can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com.
Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram every day. Our handle is @SipSudSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news.
And please take the time to rate this episode if you're listening online.
5 stars.
Good old boy Dave, you know what time it is.
Time to get ill, son.
Okay. Is that your way of saying goodbye?
Goodbye.
Reverend Mark, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you.
Good old boy, Mike.
Hey, thanks for joining us here on Sip, Suds, and Smokes. Come back, join us for another exciting episode. I will ask you to keep on sipping.
Don't do it.
This is good old gal Juliana. Thank you so much for listening to us. And we love you and appreciate you. And keep on chuggling. Catch you next time.
Stay safe.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.